seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to the book of Genesis, chapter 50, and verse 21. The book of Genesis, chapter 50, and verse 21. And now, therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. The book of Genesis, chapter 50, and verse 21. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. This word was a blessed message, not only from Joseph to those brethren that had thought evil against him, but it was the message of the Lord to their hearts. And once desire is, as we venture to bring it before you again this afternoon, that this may be the message from heaven to each of our souls. We looked at the circumstances much this morning, but you know, this was a word that they so needed. It was a word not only for that day, but a word for the future. And may it be so in each of our souls. Now therefore, fear ye not. To those that may have fears this afternoon, those fears that you may have, may be with you night and day. You cannot remove them yourself, and nor can any man. But when the Lord is pleased to speak such a word as this, like he did to those troubled brethren of Joseph, the word was to take away all their fears. I think of what the hymn writer said, "A poor fearful saint, be not dismayed, nor dread the dangers of the night. Thy God will ever give thee aid and put the hosts of hell to flight." But as helped, I want to go a little further with the text. Look how comprehensive and sacred the words are. And when we think of Joseph speaking them, may the heavenly Joseph speak them to us. I will nourish you and your little ones. They could look back and see how Joseph had been used in the land of Egypt to nourish them. Those years that they'd been in the land of Goshen was a time of wonderful nourishment. But for us to understand the need of this, I want to look at it in one or two ways. First of all, they'd known what it was when they hadn't got nourishment. They'd known what it was to be in famine and in hunger. But now they'd been in a time where the Lord had wonderfully nourished them. But what about the future? He says, I will nourish you. all the fears they had, whether they were going to be able to have nourishment in the future, or whether they got to go back to the days of famine and be turned out of Egypt, were all to be put aside, and here was what the Lord was speaking to them. I will nourish you. But then, secondly, it was to be done in two ways. There was to be the nourishment for them naturally, but then there was to be the nourishment spiritually. You know, for our bodies, and especially like for little ones, they need much nourishment, don't they? I remember when we were on the farm at home, we had one cow that gave ever such a lot of milk. During the course of the year, almost one of the most there was in England, produced by one cow. But there was no nourishment in it at all. When it was analysed, there was a great quantity, but little nourishment. And it is vital to have nourishment for our bodies, isn't it? We want that food that's got nourishment in it. Now, this is what the Lord was promising for these brethren of Joseph. The Lord said, I will nourish you. That which they were to be fed on wasn't what the swine were to eat. It was real food, real nourishment. In it was vital protein, all the goodness they were going to need naturally. And so, as they thought of the future and the unknown way, and you know, really, in this land, none of us know what may come. We've seen many of the fields having to be replanted with corn because of the wet and the cold winter. It's just died in the ground. You see, the Lord can bring a famine upon a nation in a moment. We read that searching word, don't we? He turneth a fruitful land into barrenness through the wickedness of them that dwell therein. But, oh, this promise to the Lord's dear people here, may it be so even for the Lord's people in this land. I will nourish you. Now, this is what the Lord was saying. He would send that vital nourishment to their bodies for their strengthening to go on. But then look at it spiritually. Do we not need vital nourishment? As in nature, so in grace. And where does this nourishment flow from for the soul of the child of God? Well, it certainly doesn't flow from ourselves. It must all flow from the Lord. That vital nourishment. Here he promises, I will nourish you. It all flows through a precious Jesus. And it can only be received by faith. And that's why we read together that beautiful chapter in the 11th of Hebrews. You see, faith will embrace real nourishment for the soul. Faith will view in the sufferings of Christ, in his death, in his glorious resurrection, and all that he accomplished at Calvary, there's nourishment to the poor seeking child of God. There isn't any nourishment in it to the world, is there? Why? Because they are dead in sin. They don't need nourishment spiritually. Which is very solemn, really, isn't it? What it means, too, is this. It's not just the letter of the truth. You know, there's no nourishment for a seeking, longing soul in just a letter ministry. What the child of God wants is real nourishment. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And the Holy Spirit takes of the things of Jesus and reveals them unto sinners, and there's real nourishment in them. It's not just the letter of the word or the print on the page. It's real nourishment to the soul. We think back over your late beloved pastor's ministry. If ever there was a nourishing ministry, it was his. And many others we can think of whose ministry was real nourishment to living, vital souls. I will nourish you. And then there's a nourishing from the holy word of God. You know, the world may read the word of God. There may be some that will believe it with their natural mind. But when the Holy Spirit sweetly applies the word, it's nourishment to the soul. Looking at it in a natural way, we think of Elijah under the juniper tree. You know, there the dear man was, in a very low place. He goes to sleep, wants the Lord to take him from this earth, feeling to be the only one that had not bowed his knee nor worshipped Baal. It was a lonely pathway. But what did the Lord do? He sent his angel and awake Elijah and says to him, "Arise and eat, because the journey's too great for thee." And there were those cakes, bacon on the coals. It was vital nourishment for Elijah's body. He needed it, didn't he? Look at it spiritually. The words the Lord spoke to him were nourishment to his soul. And there may be those of you this afternoon that feel to need that heavenly nourishment, because in it it gives strength to the body, doesn't it? It gives strength to the soul. It's vital. Now here he says, "I will nourish you." And you think sometimes with some of the hymns we sing, when the Holy Spirit makes them life and power to us, there's nourishment in them, isn't there? The world may read them through, they may look at them, but it means nothing to them. But to the hungry child of God, there is great need of nourishment. It leads me to this. What hunger have we for the word? What hunger have we? When is it we're really hungry? It's when we're in a healthy condition. You know, I've seen many of the Lord's dear children in much affliction, much sickness, and they've got no appetite at all because of the afflictions upon them. But when we're healthy, there's that hunger, isn't there, for natural food. And look at it spiritually. When there's real hunger in the soul, it speaks of being well concerned, well exercised, in a healthy condition spiritually. "Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you." But he doesn't just leave it there, does he? there's no doubt that these brethren of Joseph, they got their wives, they got their children, they got their little ones. How would they fare for the future? Well, here's this comprehensive word, I will nourish you. Not just the older ones, not just these brethren of Joseph, but right down to the little ones. They were going to need nourishment too. This wonderful provision which the Lord had provided in Egypt for them. And why had the Lord provided it? Well, first of all, because he loved them. Love was in it all. And you see, as Joseph speaks these words, his love to those brethren, though they treated him like they had, in no way had diminished, had it? His love to them. He could look back and think of those times how they treated him when they meant it for evil. But God, as we looked at this morning, had meant it for good. But he doesn't bear any grudge against them. He says, I will nourish you and your little ones. And love was in it all. What do we sing in the hymn? Love all defects supplies, makes great obstruction small. 'Tis prayer, 'tis praise, 'tis sacrifice, 'tis holiness, 'tis all. And one's concern is, throughout Zion today, that the Lord would fulfil this beautiful word, not only to us each personally, but to us as a flock. He says, I will nourish you and your little ones. So there's this prospect for the future, you see. It must have been a wonderful word to these brethren of Joseph, that not only to them, but right the way down to the little ones he was going to nourish. We think of the children of Israel as they went through the wilderness. There were the aged saints. There were those that were afflicted, those that were troubled. But you look at, and then there was the little ones. And the Lord wonderfully nourished them all, didn't he? He fed them with manna. I love that word which Moses spoke to the children of Israel. He said, man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of the Lord doth man live. It's a beautiful word, isn't it? You see, when Christ was here upon the earth, he speaks of himself being the bread of life. And our faith will want to feed upon Christ, that bread of life to sinners. I am the bread of life, he says. But I must hasten. And then we read, and he comforted them. There's no doubt, as we looked at this morning, there was ever so much sorrow in them because of how they treated Joseph. There was this real heart sorrow. And he says here, the Holy Spirit has said here, he comforted them. They needed it, didn't they? Now look in your heart and mine this afternoon. May this be a word in season to us. In all the sorrows, in all the distresses, there is the heavenly comforter, and he comforted them. May we know that sweet comfort which cometh from above. There are two things that come to me. The first is this. The Lord exhorted the prophet Isaiah to comfort the Lord's people. It's one of the offices of a true servant of God to be the comforter of the people. And look how the Lord spoke to dear Isaiah. He says this, doesn't he? Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she shall receive double for all her sins. Oh, the comfort the Lord used through Isaiah to comfort the Lord's people. But then the second is what the Apostle Paul said in writing, I think it's to the Corinthians. He said he comforted them with the comfort that the Lord had given unto him. So, you know, how is it we can preach comfort to sinners? It's because the Lord has comforted our poor hearts. And you think of the dear apostle. If ever a man knew comfort from heaven, the dear apostle did, and he comforted the people with that comfort that he'd received from the Lord. And he comforted them. It was just as though he put his arms of love round them and comforted them in all the things they were distressed and sorrowful for here. And then notice how he spoke to them and spake kindly unto them. And spake kindly unto them. May the Lord give us each grace to speak kindly one to another. There are many hard things spoken, many things spoken in bad spirits. But here with Joseph, in all that he'd had to go through, and the same applies in the heavenly Joseph. You look how kind the Saviour was in speaking even to his enemies. He so often spoke so kindly to them, didn't he? It was firm words of reproof, but it was done in kindness. What did the apostle say in writing to the churches? Be ye kind, tender hearted, forgiving one another. And he spake kindly unto them. I notice the margin says something very interesting and sweet, really. Regarding kindly unto them, the margin tells us, to their hearts. You see, as he spoke to them kindly, he speaks to their inmost hearts. And it came from the heart of Joseph as he speaks this kindness. And what a difference it is when we can speak from the heart. It isn't just words. It isn't because, you see, words may be spoken but mean nothing. But when it comes from the heart, there's every feeling, every effort in it, and every kindness in it. And he spake kindly unto them. Well, because of the ordinance, we shall have to leave it, but my great concern is today, as the Lord has given me this word to bring before you, that we might lay every part of it to heart. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day. Notice how he brings it right home, and may the Holy Spirit apply this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Well, may the Holy Spirit apply the text, if nothing that I've rambled round today, and I speak it to his honour, to his glory. Amen.